last speaker, and we return to OpenStack Land like we started.
Okay. Thanks for joining my session. So I'm Sung Soo from South Korea, and I'm working at the NHN Cloud based on the South Korea. So today I'm going to talk about my experience about the operating the OpenStack Swift in a public cloud the last 8 years. So as you know, the OpenStack Swift is a very old open source project, but it is very difficult to find the production use case or document in the Google. So I hope that my presentation will help the others to operating the OpenStack Swift. Okay, so first I will talk about the what challenges faced in a public cloud running the OpenStack Swift. So as you know, the public cloud can be used in by many people. So we can receive a lot of requests and a traffic that is unexpectable and cannot control. So if our object storage service is an internal service, we can ask to the client to reduce the request when our service is very getting a performance degradation. But in the public cloud, I cannot ask to the client to please reduce your request to our service. So that is the number one challenges in a public cloud service. And then the second one is maybe something only for my productions. Surprisingly, rather than the large size files, there are a lot of small size files in our productions. The small size means hundreds of the kilobyte or the few megabyte object. So it becomes a very important things, and it becomes a problem in a later on. And then the third one is some client using our object storage service as their storage backend in their own the storage service. For example, the Cortex is one of backend storage of the Prometheus. The Cortex also supporting the S3 API. So if the one client using the Cortex as the backend their Prometheus, they setting up the backend storage of the Cortex in our object storage. And the last one is a very important and a very difficult thing to running object storage in the public cloud. We must ensure the stable service. Even if the data rebalancing is occurred and some nodes are failures, we should ensure the stable service. In the Swift, if the some node are failed or adding a new node in an existing cluster, the data rebalance will be occurred, but this operation will impact the service traffic. So it is very difficult to control the service impact when you're adding the new node in a cluster. So let me briefly introduce what is the OpenStack Swift. The OpenStack Swift is one of the initial projects of the OpenStack. So it's originally used for the backend storage of the Glance component. The Glance component is storing the cloud operating system images. But unlike the other OpenStack component, the OpenStack Swift does not have any dependency with the others. So you can deploy your own OpenStack Swift without any other OpenStack components. So as far as I know, the Twitch, which is the live streaming service, they using the OpenStack Swift as their video storage service before. Not sure that these days. And there are three concepts in OpenStack Swift. The first one is account. Account is a top level concept in Swift. So the account is just a namespace for the containers, and a container is a namespace for the object. So the container does not store the object physically. It is just a logical namespace. And the object is the real object, the binary data things. And then the account and a container is handling with the database. So since the Swift supporting the HTTP-based REST API, the basic structure is a URI format. So account slash container slash object is a format of the URI. And then when we are using the Swift, most of people using the Keystone as their authentication system. So the account will be the Keystone project ID. And then normally the Swift adding a prefix in an account, it is the auth underbar. So you can see the auth underbar test usually will be the full name of the account. So let's talk about the nodes that makes up the Swift. There are the four nodes in a Swift. The first one is a proxy server. The proxy server handling the incoming the user request and do something additional feature like authentication, logging, encryption, like that. So, and then the account server and a container server is a database server. But it is not really really like a database server like MySQL. It is a web service, but internally, the account and container server stores the each data into the SQLite 3 database file. So, yeah. And the last one is object server. It stores a real object in every disk. So this is the configuration when I set up a new Swift cluster. So for the account and container node, it is very important to ensure the very fast performance. So I'm using the SSD as their disk, and those servers does not need too many disks. So I normally using four disks, so two for the account and two for the containers. And when you configure the object node, it is very difficult. It is very important to setting up the memories, because when the data rebalance or the data replicate to the other node, the object server using a lot of memories to their disk caches. So this is my rules, not to everyone. So I configure the 1 gigabyte memories per every 1 terabyte disk. And then the minimum load will be the 4, because every Swift data must have a 3 replica. So at least the 4 nodes can handle the failures. And then it is very important to ensure the consistent disk size across the all nodes. Because if some node has a large size disk, data can store those disks a lot. So to ensure the consistent disk usage, ensure the consistent disk size is very important. Before the 8 years ago, it was my first year to operating the OpenStack Swift. So I tried to setting up those all these nodes into the one node, but because we don't have any budget for configuring the new node, but every year the service growing up and traffic are increased, the account and container servers are getting account and container server became a bottleneck. because object servers process spend a lot of CPU times during the service. So a container server process cannot processing the user request. So after that, I decided to separating the account and container node and object node in our productions. Okay, so the next one is a network architecture. So to operating the Swift in a production, you need to set up the three types of network. So service network is can access from the public and handling the incoming the usual traffic. And the data and the replication network is a private network. It cannot access from the public. So the data network is handling the usual request internally, and then the replication network is only for the transferring the data replicating. Let me talk more about the service network. At first, I using the ELPO hardware switch or the ADC switch to load balancing the Swift proxy servers, but the service traffic getting increased, the ELPO switch does not carry on the traffic, and it is very difficult to scale up the bandwidth in production hardware. So we decide to change the load balancing method to the HF proxy. So in front of the Swift proxy, I put the HF proxy as a software load balancer, and each HF proxy has a virtual IP, so which is managed by the cable IPD. And so when the client requests our service domain, the DNS returns the GSLB domain, and GSLB returns the one of the virtual IP in our production. So after that, I can scale out our load balancer whenever I want. So okay, so the next one is scale out of the object node. So the first concept to understanding is a ring. The Swift used the basic concept of the consistency as ring, which is common in distributed system. And the OpenStack Swift has their own ring algorithms. So the ring is a file, and this file is extremely important. The all node in the Swift must have the same content of the ring files. If one node has a different ring files, maybe the disaster will begin soon. And there are four components in a ring. The first one is a partition power. The partition power is a factor determining the total number of the partitions. The partition is a physical location of where the data is stored. So when we set up the number of the partition power is 10, the total number of the partition will be the 1024. So it is very important to setting a right partition power when you create the ring. And the other things, I will tell you later. The next one is the device list. The device list, list is an array of information about the disk information, like IP and port and a device. And each index has their own device information. And Swift, using the device list, create a device lookup table. It is a two-dimensional table. So you can see the columns. The columns is a total number of the partitions. And rows is a number of the replicas. So when you create a ring, the Swift spread out this device list into this table very evenly. So if the number of the replica three, the first three row will be the primary node. So that disk will be the location where the data is stored. Since the primary node phase, the handoff node is temporarily designated in the ring to store the data. So we need to predefine the backup node. So the backup node means the handoff node. But the important thing is that handoff is not completely the spare node. So you can see the disk index number one in the handoff node, but it is also the primary node for the partition number 012 in here. So in Swift, every disk operates actively, but one disk can be a primary node for the some partitions and can be the handoff node for the other partitions. So it is very important and difficult to the managing the usage of disk every day, because if some disk fails, the Swift replicate those data to the handoff node. So it is very important to the managing the usage of the disk. So where should this object be stored in this table? So the process is very simple. The first, the proxy server get a request from the client, and then the computer MD5 hash of the request URI. So this is the hash value of the that URI, and taken the modular with the total number of the partition like this. And the result will be the partition number of the that request. So if the value will be the 140, that data will be stored the disk index 19, 34, 64. And physically, it looks like this. So if you look inside the mounted disk, you will see the partition directory inside the mounted disk. So this is where the data is stored. Then how to add a new object node in the Swift? So actually, there are one more items in a device list. It is a weight, and the weight is a proportion of the disk in the Swift pools. So the larger weight means that disk can store more data than others. So I normally setting the weight as the disk size in a gigabyte. So if the weight is at 4,000, this disk physical size is 4 terabyte. So adding a new node means adding a disk information to the device list, and the newly added the device must be placed in a device lookup table. That means some disk reassigned to the partitions. That means the data migration will be occurred. So data migration from one node to the other node spend a lot of the disk I/O and network traffic. So the OpenStack Swift daemon using the replication network to reduce the service traffic in to avoiding the impact of service traffic. And this is how the Swift link looks like. You can see the device ID and IP and port and the weight and how many partitions in each disk in here. So I heard someone told me that it is great to be you should 100 to the 150 is the minimum size of the partitions. So you can setting up the one disk can has less than 100, but it became a nightmare when the service traffic is getting increased and a pool is getting adding a new node. So 100 and 150 is a minimum size of the partition. So as you keep adding nodes, so you will eventually reach a limit. So for example, if you're setting up the partition power as a 10, the ring create the 1024 partitions. That means your cluster can have only 124 disks because one partition cannot spread out the multiple disks. So yeah, so the one partition is a one disk. So so to solve this problem, the OpenStack Swift provide the increased partition power features, but this process create the hard link for all objects. So if the one partition has a lot of objects in a single partition, there are a lot of disk IOs, and the total time to increasing the partition power is maybe the 1 month or 2 months. So it is very important to set the partition power correctly from the beginning. So, but if you are unsure the what value to choose, you can use this calculator. Just put the number of the disk, and the disk calculator lets you know what the partition power will be good to your cluster. And this is an experience I had while adding a new object node. So even the sufficient disk utilization in a replication network is very low, and we have enough bandwidth in a replication network, but the replicator replicate the object very slow. So after analyzing the cause, the why the replicators replicate object very slow. So I found that if a single partition has a huge number of the file, updating the file that stores that hash value for the partition took a lot of times. For in my case, each partition contains the tens of millions of files, very very small files. And then the processing a single disk with the 100 partition took about 3 days. So if you're setting up the 10 gigabps or 40 gigabps in a replication network, but OpenStack Swift cannot using the whole bandwidth of that because of this problem. And then the next one is container database three copies mismatches. The container database stores the object list and container information, and the container database is also has three copies for the replication. And this database file is SQLite3, and the SQLite3 database file will be created each containers. So this is the process of updating the object in ContainerDB. First, the proxy server receives the uploading the object and the storing object in the object server, and in the updating the object in the container asynchronously, and then the container server also updating the number of object and size in the account server asynchronously. So, why this happens? I don't know why. So, because the Swift must ensure all of the three copy database data is the same, but I don't know why this problem happens in my production. So in my productions, there are a lot of leakages in the only one containers. And in the case, the container servers cannot handle the other request. And at that point, maybe the database data is a mismatches. So what happens if the database three copies mismatches? So when some client downloading the very large object using the multi-part upload, so the file uploaded via the DLO become undownloadable because when the user downloading the object, the inside the Swift, the object listing in the container DB, because the proxy servers looking for the the proxy server looking for the list of the part of the object. But if the container DB is unstable, the list of part is not stable, so the object cannot be downloaded. Then how we solve this problem? So I'm not sure that this is a good solution, but I perform the scan the all object list in the three copies and manually correct that if the some object in the A and B, but not in C, I put that object in the C manually. It is very hard job. Then the last topic is how to monitor in the OpenStack Swift. There are no materials about how to OpenStack Swift in a website. So there are four main metrics. So system resource and API is very familiar with the other system. So I'm using the Prometheus to collect the system resource in the all of the node, and API is a collector load to the monitoring the request trend, and then the recon is only in the Swift OpenStack Swift. Then you can check the status of the Swift daemons. So API monitoring, I'm using the Elasticsearch and Logstash and the Grafana. So I'm monitoring the how many requests in the production and a response code trend and the other things. And the recon is what happening inside the OpenStack Swift daemons, like how many partitions is replicated successfully or failures, and is the all node has the same link files, like that. So you can query it using the Swift CLI command, and it allows you to view the daemon status for the account container and object. But it is the one-time data, so I made the OpenStack Swift recon exporters, and Prometheus collect this recon data every 5 seconds, and I draw a graph to the monitoring these things. Yeah, so this is how the OpenStack Swift recons look like. And the last one is the steady timing monitoring. It is the timing data, so inside the OpenStack Swift. And then there are new features in progress upstream. To better understand the Swift internal operations, the upstream developers are working on integrating it with the OpenTelemetry tools. Okay, so to conclude my sessions, in fact, unlike the other software-defined storage service, the OpenStack Swift doesn't have much production or use case and a document. So it is very difficult to find what's the problem in my production. So I think the operators should know much about the code levels understanding. And then there are less the monitoring tools and operational tools, and operators should make their own tools to operating their OpenStack Swift. And in South Korea, some company wants to the security things like encryption or IPACL like that, but pure OpenStack Swift does not support very good these features. So we have to develop our own middleware and our own features in the OpenStack Swift. Okay, so, thanks for listening to my talk. And if you have any questions, this is my LinkedIn. So please send a message to me. Thank you.